Welcome to The Ether. Today it's Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Orbital Command, Anchor, Donku. They discuss the dynamic earn rate proposition. Let's take a listen.
Hey guys, welcome. We're just populating, giving a few minutes to populate up and inviting the speakers up.
Hey sir, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
Sha, good to talk to you. I just talked to Zion. I met him in person. Great to... I would have met. Wished also to meet you, but I mean, at least part of your team.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I'm actually coming to Spain. I'm flying to Spain tonight, but I'm not going to make it to the Avalanche conference. I'm doing more girlfriend stuff in Spain, so it's going to be more fun.
Can you repeat? You guys are having a good time. You had to decide between girlfriend and crypto, and you decided girlfriend. Not going to make it, sir.
I was just going to say, you're not a true degen.
You know what? One of my biggest regrets when I was living in Japan and the World Cup came there, and I could have easily gone to like some World Cup matches because it was in my city where I was living. And I decided to spend time with my girlfriend, and it was a good weekend. But now I'm like regretting that I didn't go to these World Cup games that I could have gone to super easily. But sometimes
hopefully she's not listening.
The better choice. This is an X. That's an X. So
I wanted to say, Nate, the first question is still the same one, right? Then you.
Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, it's a great start, I would say, into this Twitter space. And also, Nate, how are you? It's just, I met Ryan Park, right? The most polite gentleman in the world, which just basically built one of the most important application of all time. So it's just amazing how those people who are just creating everything here are the most like relaxed, chilled, and quiet and polite people. It's just amazing.
I know Ryan's like one of the most quietest dudes I've met, but that's because his mind's probably always like doing all these advanced crypto mathematics while you talk.
Let's
are more people joining or are we waiting?
Is there anyone else that I need to invite up? I think some of the, maybe one of the retrograde guys I thought was going to join, but I don't know.
Yeah. He's on the Retro Pong handle. If he's okay. In here,
if you're out there, let's see.
Request.
Yeah,
cool.
And the Anchor account, should we just add him up here for?
Yep. Yeah.
Reach.
Add him on. Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me.
I think he might be.
He's in a conference. Yeah, Zion's in a conference right now. Cool. Hey, Pong. Great to have you on again.
Great hearing from you again, Nate.
Sam, cool. Can you request? I think Sam wants to come on too, but I don't know which one Sam is.
He's a Fidor.
Let's see. If you request to speak, Sam, then I'll see your request and I can pop you up.
And then I know Ryan Lyon said that he might join. So if Ryan Lyon, you're out there, request to come up on stage. This is really just a community inspired talk about the dynamic rate. So we're just pulling people in from all over. We'll open this up sooner than most AMAs to take questions. And
what?
Talk
we're
about
not
this.
Talking about PUD? I don't understand.
Yeah, we could.
I mean, Nate, while we're waiting, right, in terms of how is it in terms, I think all of us feel like somehow for the ecosystem, you know, in terms of we all want to understand it better, but actively really being involved in a protocol, how is that, right? It's more like you feel more involved, you're anyway also a community member, you know what I mean? I don't know if there is something now different that you also are involved into something. Don't know if you want to reflect on that.
Yeah, it's a tough line to walk, right? Like, even though I'm part of the Anchor team, that doesn't mean I'm not a part of the community, right? Everyone on the Anchor team is part of the Anchor community, even though we're employed by TFL. And so I kind of walked that closest line, I think, because I was one of the most active community members before joining TFL. And so pulling that community perspective in is often tough. I can kind of see my perspective change after, you know, working in the community and then working at TFL. It's like there's certain restrictions and capacity constraints that always exist that you aren't necessarily aware of when you're in the community, right? It's really hard to understand what a team of people is doing if you're not working with them every day. That's just really a downfall of where we're at right now. And obviously that's not the end goal. Every day we move closer to decentralization and ultimately we'll be at a point where we start hiring community members as part of the actual team that's building this and they can be more involved and on the forums and discussing these things and having a more decentralized way to do it. So this is just one step of the process of getting there. So it's hard to sort through. And that's kind of my role is to try to bridge that and try to temper expectations about like, yes, that's a great idea, but like we've got stakeholders that are invested in Anchor, right? We have to understand that like there's some big Anchor token holders, right? And they're part of the community too. They bought a lot of tokens because they believed in Anchor and like they have a vision as well and they're going to vote. So there's a lot of lines to walk. It's kind of like politics in a way too, right? Like we can't get away from that. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I see your point in terms of, I think all of us don't like in terms of politics of, yeah, you need to take care of stakeholders and people, but that's what we anyway do all the time. It's more like, do you do it to defend something or do you do it in terms of trying to accommodate them as much as possible, right? And I think as we are trying all to go into the same direction, hopefully it's more the second part, the positive politics, I call them myself. And yeah, it's not easy, right? Because you don't do something, I guess, from Anchor protocol perspective to not benefit the community, right? But not everything works out as you also intended, because if you would know everything perfect, why even having you, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's clear, you know, there's a UST strategy too, right? That definitely falls into the mix, right? Anchor is part of the overall Terra ecosystem, and the success of UST is also important for the success of Anchor, right? So the success of Anchor is also now important for the success of UST. We have to start recognizing that a little more too, just so we're all on the same page, right? I think that's important too.
And just to chime in here, you know, I think it's helpful to, you know, everyone has different perspectives on, you know, what the protocol should do from a community perspective. And you know, some things are, hey, this is a short-term fix, this is a medium-term fix, this is a long-term fix. So how do you balance, you know, those different, you know, prerogatives? And, you know, I think we're trying to inch closer and closer to the ideal. And some people just want to kind of leapfrog there. And so I think that balance is also, you know, tough to maintain, but, you know, doing our best as a community.
Yeah, got it. Can you guys maybe quickly also share how big in the meantime the Anchor team has become? Because I think that's stuff that people also don't see, right? I don't know if you can share that number, but maybe it's interesting also to give a bit of an understanding of how many people are right now working on this ship.
That's a hard question to answer because this is not just like me side skirting it. There's really no like Anchor team because Anchor is a decentralized protocol. So there are some people at TFL that focus on Anchor and that is a lot of their focus, but there's other people that their time is split. They might not necessarily just be on the anchor team. They're partly working on other core TFL stuff, right? Because TFL is huge in the sense of like you've got validators, you've got business dev, you've got marketing side. I mean, there's just a lot of things there, and a lot of things. There's a core infrastructure, right? So it kind of gets mixed up. But I would say, like, I don't know, maybe 12 people, Sam. I'm not sure where we're at there. And then we've got other
12 people. Pretty
something
good.
Like that. Something like that. Between 10 to 12 people. Yeah, I mean, we've got more than that, actually. If you count all the people that are actively engaged in Anchor, maybe not every day, there's definitely closer to like 15 to 20 people that touch Anchor on the team in some kind of way, I would say.
But the good part is, I mean, it really is, you know, the community is the broader team, right? I mean, all the ideas that, you know, the devs are working on were sourced from the community. And so even though there's a couple of people kind of, you know, in the weeds, you know, we really think about it as, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, or tens of thousands of folks that are actively participating and trying to move this forward as best they can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean,
just quickly, Nate, in there, it's like, so today I'm here in Barcelona, right? And shout out to Estet. I was able to talk to Ryan Park, SJ from TFL is here. Chris Amani is doing an amazing job trying to get more and more community members involved. I think the ethos of what TFL is trying to make happen is amazing. There is Zion also here. And so I don't know if maybe a few of you guys have seen like Yahoo Finance, right? Zach Guzman, who was the anchor and doing a lot of crypto stuff, he decided to quit and go now full Web3. And I was meeting him today on the conference. And then I said, dude, you need to talk to all of those people that are here, right? And then afterwards, he came back to me. I hope it's fine that I say this. And then he told me, like, now I get it why you are so invested into this community. It's like, it feels like a big family. Now maybe you can say, man, this guy is right now shilling too much. But it's this positive vibe is truly, at least, you feel it here, right? Even on the AVEX conference where Terra is together and the people are just helping out. It's cool.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, I don't draw those lines. It's like, Donko, you and I talk all the time, right? Shaw, you and I talk from time to time. And like, I feel like you're on the Anchor team. Like, you might as well be. I mean, that's the thing. You are. Like,
not active in Anchor tokens. No advice.
But I mean, getting to the core of this is like, there's been a big discussion in the community since almost after Anchor launched about like, what is this 20% going to look like? If we look back from the beginning, you actually listened to Doe, right? He did say like, it's not going to stay at 20 forever. He did say that several times. But a lot of people hear what they want to hear, right? But the majority of the community really cares, right? And there were a lot of great solutions that were put up on like, how do we solve this? This is not an end state either, right? This is just a start to moving towards a more sustainable rate. And that's why we're kind of having this talk. It's like, A, what does this look like? How is this new rate model going to look? And more importantly, like, what can we look forward to in the future on how we can add to this, how we can augment it? So I think that will be a good way to kind of start this conversation out, probably, is like, let's kind of talk about the dynamic rate a little bit and what that's going to look like, because I think there's probably a lot of confusion out there. And
because you made a super complex formula, sir, instead of just saying 5 a month, which would make it easier. But maybe before you quickly get away, because the guest that we have here, right, Mr. Pong, and also I don't know who is on the Retrograde account. Is it Tetris?
Hey guys, no, it's Detective Grover piloting the account today.
Right on.
How's it going, guys? Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Excited to learn more about the dynamic earn rate changes.
Yeah, I mean, VE-ANC is still out there, right? That's probably one of the most interesting proposals, which is discussed, not bootstrapped by Mr. Nate. I don't know that I've ever seen that one, right? Something discussed on Anchor without Mr. Nate bootstrapping it.
I know, that was a... That was one of the first amazing ones that really came through really strongly.
So, don't know, Shah, if you want to add something, or how do we keep it off here? If not, maybe Nate, you want to give a little bit of background what this dynamic rate means and how you also kind of came up with your logic and everything that went into this?
Yeah, I think that'll be a good way. And then we'll kick it over to Sam, too, because he's got a good way of dumbing down my overcomplexities. So how about we actually kick it over to Sam, have him put it in simplistic terms of like, what does this really mean, just on a very higher level basic, and then I'll dive in a little deeper for those that like to actually go into some of the formulas that we have there and what those mean.
Perfect. Yeah. As Nate said, I'm not that smart, so I got to dumb it down for myself mostly, and then pass it on to the community. But essentially, you know, as we all know and love the yield reserve, we all love the yield reserve. And so effectively, you know, the way we look at that is, you know, kind of the profit and loss of, you know, the protocol. If the yield reserve is going up, the protocol is making money. If the yield reserve is going down, the protocol is losing money. And so in this proposal here, you know, we kind of look to that, you know, baseline, you know, P&L, right, profit and loss of, you know, the protocol, and say, hey, you know, if the protocol is, you know, making money, you know, let's raise the rate up because we can support that. And similarly, right, and where we obviously, you know, find ourselves, you know, when that yield reserve is going down, you know, it's easy to basically, you know, reduce the rate a bit to take some pressure off that yield reserve. And so effectively, we're going to kind of slow walk the protocol based on the health of, you know, the yield reserve. And so, you know, not surprisingly, right, the yield reserve is going down day after day after day. So in the short term, you know, not surprisingly, right, the rate will likely go down, you know, month over month. And so basically every month, it's a relatively quick formula. You look to the yield reserve, you say, hey, is it going up? Is it going down? If it's going down, you know, probably makes sense to reduce that rate, take a little bit of the pressure off, and then pause a little bit, right? Because there's a lot of things going on in the background. There's a lot of positive things happening on the borrow side. So we don't want to all of a sudden, right, snap that rate down. We don't want to scare people. You know, we can support certainly gradual decreases, hopefully at some point support gradual increases. But that's effectively, you know, it in a nutshell. If the protocol is making a lot of money, we would love to give more of it back to, you know, kind of the user base. But if the protocol is, you know, not making money, right, there's kind of no other way but to reduce kind of those payouts. And so over time, you know, obviously that naturally leads to kind of the steady state of the protocol. You know, we're month after month, we're constantly checking whether or not your reserve is going up or down, and then adjusting the rate accordingly. But again, not major moves, hopefully, right? We still want to keep it relatively stable, still want to, like, you know, have people project out and build models and build businesses, you know, based off of Anchor. And so we're trying, I think the community is trying to do it as in the most responsible way as possible, but also, you know, being very, very transparent about that 20% is currently not sustainable, you know, with kind of, you know, the dynamics on the borrow side. And so as those borrow side, you know, incentives and initiatives start to kick in, you know, hopefully we can, you know, start to tick the rate up. You know, but certainly I think as everyone's, you know, well aware, the earn side is definitely, you know, challenging for the yield reserve at the moment.
Nate, what do you want to add now?
I love that. Mistake,
which, yeah, go ahead.
No, that was eloquently laid out. I could not have done it better. That's why I nominated him to do that. So now I'll confuse you all. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But so let's look at that, right? Like on a technical level, what does that mean? And so to Sam's point, this needs to be something that can be augmented and recalibrated, right? We just don't want some hardline parameters coded in. So we need to be able to reassess what this is doing over time. So there's kind of There's four main parameters then in the code, and you guys can all look at it, but I'll kind of distill that out for you. You have a frequency, right? A period of time and the number of blocks, which can be extrapolated out into days, weeks, months, in which you look at when this rate change is going to occur. And so ideally that can be set. It looks like, again, this is up to the community to vote. I think we're going to have to, what was laid out in the forum post, which no one really seemed to challenge, was that we'll look at it for a month, but this is something that can be changed. It could be pushed down to a week. It could be pushed up to 3 months if it looks like we have a more sustainable runway and it looks like we don't need to change it as much. That would be really ideal. If it looks like we're not changing it quickly enough, we can push that down to a week where it becomes a little more dynamic. So that's what the frequency looks at. We also have a maximum and minimum APY, right? So kind of saying, okay, well, maybe we cap it at 25% APY so that the yield reserve has a chance to really buffer itself and we don't just pay that all out right away. And maybe we cap a floor that's something that still looks more attractive than the rest of the savings and lending space out there. So maybe it's like 5 or 8 or 7% floor, whatever community thinks is great for that floor level. At a minimum.
Maybe Nate, maybe just quickly, because I now was told how to pin something at the spaces, and I'm very proud on that. So what I did now is I pinned up the official tweet from Anchor Protocol explaining like 4 days ago the whole logic behind that. And what I pinned also now additionally is the 20th tweet where there is the formula in, and the 21st, then when people scroll down, they see an example. So I don't know if you want to, based on the tweet number 20, go again through the formula. And then also you touch on those different things that you said, which I think is also very important. And then we'll also probably open up an AMA in terms of why did you choose for now, as you said, a month, or will it be a week or so forth? Maybe that helps also a little bit more in going into the details of the formula.
Yeah, and so some of it's changed a little bit because the audit actually pulled out some things of complexity. So the actual delta seemed to be a unneeded parameter, right? It's really just like if the yield reserve is going up or down, and the delta just added unnecessary code complexity, so we scratched that out of there. No need to open up more attack vector surface, right? The less complexity you can have, the better. So the yield rate goes up or down, right? It's yes or no. And so that would be
So you need to please write also in your tweet, Nate, sir, to get us all on. So basically what you're saying is if in a month the change is positive, right, you mean that the next month it would increase the payout, and if it's negative, it would decrease the payout. Is that kind of the easiest way to tackle this?
Yeah, right. And it makes it a little simpler, right? It's like, you know, delta 3%, if it's under 3%, right, it's just as rightly challenged, that was a bit too complicated. So just up or down, right? Everyone can understand that. It makes a lot of sense. So that would be the actual frequency and the max change. And so we would have a final parameter that actually caps that at a max percent. And the reason for this, the thought process behind it is, okay, if the yield rate goes up, there's a max cap of what was proposed was 1.5%, meaning it can only raise that per frequency of 1 month by 1.5%. Or conversely, if the yield reserve goes down, it can only lower it per month by 1.5%. And the thought process behind that is, like, you don't want to send shocks to the market, right? Like, we don't want to just drop the rate to 5% tomorrow or 10% tomorrow, or have it snap right to the actual dynamic money market rate, right? Because this is something that most people don't understand, I think. So I'll highlight this again, right? If the yield reserve goes to zero, Anchor doesn't break, it doesn't go to zero, it doesn't become insolvent, right? As everyone seems to think, no, Anchor actually goes to a completely dynamic money market, right? So this puts us one step closer to not having to go to that point where the rate drops to the sustainable rate that it can actually pay based on the actual borrow collateral interest rates and the actual utility of that. So this will move more closer to that without creating any like huge type of whipsaw motion, because you got to remember there's a lot of things to consider here. And Sam mentioned this a bit, there's a lot of protocols that built on top of the earn side, right? And they created marketing materials, right? They have a user base that they tried to plan for. You can't just drop the rate like 10% overnight and shock the community in that kind of way. So that was kind of the thought process behind that. And so again, these are all governance parameters, though, to be very clear. These are not set in stone. These are things that we have to look at, we have to monitor. They're going to have to go up to vote and possibly be rechanged and recalibrated.
Okay, so to rephrase it for me, what I understood is basically the proposal is now, first of all, it looks up and down. Then there is the 1.5% that it would move up or down based on which direction it takes. And then this is all based on a monthly basis for now. And what you're saying is, first of all, before this is decided, well, now this will be decided on the one hand, but then once it's decided, those are parameters that can be then adjusted later on, right? If people then say, well, maybe we go to 2% or just 1% change, or we do it on a weekly basis, maybe on a daily basis, whatever, right? So, but then you're also saying it makes sense to have a time frame. Why? Because other protocols are dependent, be it, I don't know, Zoom, Kinetic, Angel protocol, right, which is still super important for the ecosystem and positive, this thing. So I don't know, Shah or the Retrograde team, if you have any comments on this or your thoughts.
For me, it's really funny and interesting to hear, like, I don't know, you know, Terra's come into the spotlight in a big way in the last, you know, month or two as we've climbed the crypto market cap charts. And it's funny to see Anchor come under and the interest rate that it's providing come under such, I don't know, like fire or scrutiny from the broader crypto community, who is like just discovering Terra and discovering Anchor really in the last few months. Because I remember, you know, following the launch of Anchor, and all of us like were anxiously awaiting what the interest rate was going to be for the lend side, and Doe like teased that it was going to be potentially double digits, and we were all like, oh my gosh, double digits, this is going to be massive. And then like when it actually dropped at, you know, 20%, like, I mean, the community was doing backflips. We're like, this is insane and awesome. And I just think it's funny that like it feels like everyone, I think, took what I thought was like kind of like this tremendous gift from TFL and like kind of this incredible rate to really market our ecosystem. And they've kind of, I think the broader community has kind of turned on that and created all this FUD around like, oh, you know, the sustainability of Anchor. But it's, I don't know, I'm excited to see that Anchor's coming into this kind of next stage of evolution where we're, you know, like creating that sustainability that people more recently have been worried about, when it's just been kind of this really awesome thing that we've had for the last year that, I don't know, I find it really incredible, like what has been accomplished by Anchor. And like you were saying, how many different dApps on Terra, like it's not two or three. I mean, there's, I would say off the top of my head, something more like 8 to 10 dApps that are like known that have like built off of the Anchor interest rate, you know? So there's a lot of things that are connected to the changes that we make to this. And I think that that consideration really needs, you know, is one of those things that the community needs to think about.
Well, it's funny you say that, because, you know, it's crypto and everyone's a Deegan, and some protocol comes out, it's 10,000, you know, percent APY, and people are like, oh yeah, totally makes sense, I get it, like, you know, let's do it. And then we come out at 20% and people are like, whoa, blasphemy, that is, I don't know what you guys are doing over there. So you get both sides of the coin, for sure. But certainly I think, you know, responsibility, sustainability and long-term focus is definitely something that's core to kind of, you know, the mission at Anchor, and hopefully, you know, resonates with the community.
Yeah, and it's funny, that point you make. If you recall, like, people were speculating double digits was going to be like 11, 12%, right?
Yeah,
and I was like,
yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
You could get like 10 or 11%. And that's what I was thinking. I'm like, this is awesome, right?
I 100% thought 11%, and I was super excited about it.
Yeah, so the fact that we're moving down from 20% slowly, I don't think there's going to be too big of an issue there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, would you say it's a fair analogy that 1.5% increasing that is like a bumpy landing, and decreasing it is a bit of a soft landing, maybe as an analogy for decreasing the Anchor rate? I mean, we definitely see both sides of this discussion. Like you guys are saying, you know, business models are built on top of Anchor and that 20%, and it's a really good marketing tool to go out there and say earn the best possible rate. But then we also we're really keen to see sort of an increase in the value of the utility of governance tokens. So adding these new parameters, being able to vote on changing that rate, and also to be able to tweak those things using governance on Anchor for a more mature DeFi ecosystem. I guess that's what we need to do to exceed the growth of Ethereum DeFi. I guess that's the end goal. So it seems like a necessary next step, but we definitely see both sides of the argument.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, right? Like over on Aave and Compound, you really just have a dynamic rate, right? Here, you actually create governance utility and the main user function of the app, right? I mean, we just passed $17 billion on the protocol, which is just astounding, right? And we have 11.4 billion in user deposits, right? Getting them to take place in governance would be huge, huge utility for the token itself.
It's a monster. Ank is an absolute monster. That's fair to say.
Yeah, it's also been incredible to see, I would say, like an increased focus on governance within Terra through all these community discussions. I think the ARCA proposal that actually got rejected was one of the highest participation rates within any ecosystem.
I was like, how do we figure out how to get governance for that proposal? Like, how do we get governance to replicate what happened for Pool 18, right? That was DeFi at its best, right? Everyone was involved, everyone cared, everyone was voting, everyone was on the forums, posting conflicting ideas, challenging each other, right? This is really the most, like, I don't even think I have to say go to the forums anymore. I'd probably eat my words, but like we had, so far there's nearly 30,000 views on the dynamic anchor earn rate. Like my job last week was to literally just read all of the, I'm eating my words now, telling everyone to go to the forum, right? Like, but it's just been amazing to see this.
It's great to hear that, because and I think it's great to have also the Retrograde team in here, in terms of I think a lot of us have said for a long time that governance is important, and the token power, which is also called governance token, has a ton of value. But of course, and more even in a bull run, I mean, everybody hopefully also was able to make a ton of money. It's like, yeah, but if number is not going up, who cares? Governance, yeah. But Anchor Protocol is right now wielding a ton of money. It's one of the top five biggest DeFi protocols in the world. And if somebody is right now scooping up since months cheap coins because we're just selling our rewards, well, he could have done serious damage right to the whole ecosystem. So I think it's great. Well, drama always helps. But if this was kicking off something bigger and gives also awareness of how important governance is, I'm happy also to hear your reflection, Nate, in saying that you basically don't have a job anymore, right? You don't need to post on the forum anymore.
Let's hope it continues. I won't have much of a life anymore if it continues, but it's good for the ecosystem. And what I hope is, like, I won't be one of the, there's like, I shouldn't say me myself, there's several really active community members on there that really help me, right? And they really do a good job of posting and responding, conflicting ideas and things like that. So it's getting a lot better, and I want to see more and more people take up a role in helping do that. So it's really exciting in my mind.
I mean, sir, if something is needed in terms of drama, again, we just create a new proposal from Barca instead of Arca, because the second one, and let's see where we take this one. No, just kidding. So I think it's good that we have more institutional investors also here. I don't know, Retrograde, do you want to reflect on the topic of governance quickly before we, then I would say also maybe open up the floor to some community members asking some questions here in terms of dynamic earn rate, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once again, our focus is on building the master key for governance on the Terra ecosystem. And, you know, like kind of what Nate's talking about, part of our mission is to be able to highlight the importance of governance within the ecosystem, and to help unlock the value of governance to, like, key ecosystem protocols such as Anchor, right? As far as this proposal, I think that, you know, we really like this proposal because it really does help make Anchor more sustainable while also adding value and adding utility to Anchor holders. I think really we're going to see more alignment through this proposal, and, you know, we're really excited to see what the community does in order to push this forward and to see, you know, the future of what happens on Anchor.
Nice one. I can't wait also to see your solution. When do you go live? Did you say that already? No?
We haven't really released exactly the exact date when we're going to go live, but we're creeping closer and closer week by week.
There you go. Can't wait for that one. Nate, Cha, what do you think? Should we open the floor here a bit and get some members up?
Let's do it. I think there's going to be a lot of questions.
Very good. So everybody who has a question, just request speak. We had one or two people earlier, which faded in the meantime. Sorry for that. I mean, in the beginning, usually it's just a little bit of also talk and giving everybody a chance to speak. But now, if you have any questions, whoop, and there they are coming up. Just a second, and then people are just let me bring them in here as much as possible. And Shah, just chime in, right? And also stop me.
Yeah. So Nate, just while we're waiting for people to kind of connect up.
So once you remove the delta.
Wait a second, Mr. Terrapony. I just muted you. Give Shah a chance and then you can reflect on your topic.
That's okay. We can let Mr. Terra go ahead. Terrapony.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I have a question regarding the delta. Because if you disregard the delta parameter in setting the rate change, then nearing the equilibrium rate, this can cause a flattering effect, where 1 month you get plus 1.5%, the other month minus 1.5%. This can happen regardless of any actual dynamics, right? Because once you're at the equilibrium, a very tiny deviation can cause to cross the boundary one way or another. So do you have anything in mind to address that in the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially hyperdynamic on a monthly time frame at that point, right? Because if the yield reserve doesn't really change that much, right, it's only going to, let's say the yield reserve is up 0.1%, that only changes the rate 0.1%. So it's not really that significant of a change. So that's kind of the point. It's not a max 1.5% that it goes up and down, right? That's the bounds of how much it can change.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, if you take this equation, and I know there's some math in there, but you know, the programmers, all the devs tell me they need math to work on, not words. And so if you do that, right, you know, limit to affinity, you definitely, you know, go towards that sustainable rate over time. And so once you're kind of there, you know, month to month, it should be relatively stable. And that might be where the community says, hey, you know, maybe it's not up or down 1.5%, maybe it's up or down 0.5%. So that's why I think a lot of these, you know, parameters are not fixed. And can be adjusted, you know, over time, you know, as the community sees fit.
Right. And right. To that point, it doesn't have to be a month either, right? So if we did get that effect of flippening, right, where it constantly is going back and forth by a few decimal points, right, then maybe we'd look at doing it like every 3 months, because that means our parameter was too tight, right? Then that means we've got to change that to like every quarter it changes. So that's why they're dynamic principles, because they're... there are things we're not going to see, right? We can model it out as much as we want, but the market's really going to determine that, and then we can recalibrate. So yeah, great question. Good things to think about and good things to look for.
Cool. Yeah, thank you so much.
To follow up on that, that's a question that I was kind of thinking of. So what was the decision-making process in the 1 month? Like, did it just feel like that's enough times that it's not changing too rapidly, but also like adjusting, you know, in a reasonable amount of time, so we're not like depleting the reserves too long if, you know, 3 months or 6 months goes by before the rate changes? Like, can you give us a little, or do you guys know like the thought behind that 1 month parameter?
Yeah, I mean, it was like the yield reserve is bleeding a lot. So it would be nice to do like 3 months, but honestly, that is kind of just tokenism at that point, right? It's not really changing much. And yeah, the thought with talking to a lot of the apps that use it, that going less than a month might be too radical as well at this time. So it really was just about intuitively talking to people and filling out what they thought was best. And then if it doesn't work well, we put up a governance proposal to quickly change it to something that does.
Yeah.
Really, the idea is just get it out so we can calibrate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think just to piggyback on that a little bit, you know, there's so many things in the work. You know, Anchor Protocol now is going to look a lot different than it will in May, in June, in September, in December. So I think a lot of that, you know, ramp, if you will, that slow ramp, was to give a lot of these great ideas and a lot of these, you know, great discussions and proposals, you know, time, you know, for them to kind of advance and see what happens with those. So that's another reason why we didn't do anything too drastic, because there's so many things in the pipe that can, you know, drastically alter kind of, you know, the shape of where Anchor goes.
Cool. Thank you, Terrapony, for the question also. Millennial, would you like to go next?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on here. I guess my question is pretty simplistic. I'm a relatively new investor in the Terra ecosystem. And my biggest fear with this is that we are going to disincentivize the big money and the hedge funds that are actively piling into UST by messing around with the rate. The phrase that kind of comes to my mind is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. As I understand it, the 20% rate is not sustainable, and it's kind of a marketing tool for the community. So if it's working as a marketing tool and UST is minting at the maximum possible rate right now, what is the justification in messing around with that when TFL still has tens of billions in Luna holdings that we could potentially use to replenish the reserve in the future and take some kind of action like this, you know, maybe a year down the road as opposed to right now? Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. And there's definitely both sides that argue like, A, that's not sustainable, the anchor should perform on its own and it shouldn't require bailouts. But there's also the point that like 20% is a super top line number. And actually, there is some reasoning behind this. Like if you look at the UST cross-chain exports, where we actually have to create some real utility behind this UST that's not just parked in anchor, they have to compete against that 20%. So when they're going over to ETH, when they're going over to Arbitrum, when they're going over to Optimism or Polygon or even AVAX, right? Especially AVAX in this case, these yield farms now have to compete with the incentives. So they have to pay out even more Luna and incentives. So the cost of getting real sustainable UST adoption is actually pegged much higher than it should be. And we could actually possibly get more UST adoption if the rate comes down a little bit and we stop competing against similar unified efforts.
I like that question, Don. But Nate, I don't know if you want to also quickly reflect, because I like your point in terms of it's not only external, it's also within the Terra ecosystem, right? If we have right now money markets, or they would like to call themselves credit market, like Mass Protocol and Edge, they need to probably raise a ton or ask for a lot of money if people want to lend out and borrow UST, because if not, they are basically impossible to attract any liquidity, right? So I think now with Mars and Edge Protocol, it probably also helps out a ton the whole ecosystem if Anchor Protocol becomes more, let's say, dynamic, right? I don't know if you have reflected or would like to reflect on this topic in general for within Terra.
No, it's 100% true. And I guess I could say it. Mars actually did ask us, like, when are you guys lowering the rate? Like, we don't want to have to pay 20%, right? Like, it's kind of crazy. And as we were talking about earlier, like, we don't know the breaking point, but let's look at some of the data from Compound and Aave, right? If you look at this, and Flipside's got some good data on this that they put out, people don't move their money regardless of what the rate does there. It's parked there. The actual rate changes on a completely dynamic rate in Aave and Compound, and it's like, what, 3%, 2%? They're not moving their money for the most part. And here we are paying 20%, worried that if we drop it to like 10%, people are going to move their money, yet people in Aave and Compound are getting paid 3% and they're not even moving their money. So I think we probably have some runway to stop bleeding so much money, and let's kind of figure out where that threshold balance exists.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I guess I would counter that with, why do we feel that we need a dynamic rate then? Why not just manually experiment with, you know, setting a fixed rate a little bit lower than 20% and then seeing how that works and then coming back? Because by creating that dynamic rate, you're essentially telling the big money who's inflowing into the system that there will be no certainty in terms of yield. They can't calculate, you know, the linear depletion rate of the UST reserve based on a dynamic rate. I mean, they can estimate it, sure, but they're not going to have as much certainty regarding, you know, how much yield they could be paid out in a certain fixed period of time, which I think is kind of hitting at one of the most attractive features of the ecosystem right now, given the macro conditions we're facing in the market. Just the fact that you have certainty of yield for as long as the UST reserve is there. And even though the reserve might run out at a certain point, you know, 4 or 5 months from today, big money investing into that pool and into UST understands that they will be paid as long as there is a reserve pool there. So I feel like injecting the additional uncertainty given the market conditions may not be a wise move right now.
But do you think that 1.5% a month is a crazy uncertainty? Because the alternative would be yield reserve zero, draw down to 5%. I don't know. I think that's a bigger risk, or don't you think so?
I think it's a reasonable proposal. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's gonna, you know, create any huge moves in terms of increasing or decreasing valuation right away. But I just think that, you know, I've heard so many times, and I asked the question so many times of, you know, why is the yield reserve not sustainable? And finally getting comfortable with that fact myself, and now we're messing around with it, and it's just like, oh, here we go again. Like, I don't know. I have mixed.
Welcome to DeFi. But I mean, let's think about it. It's not that, like Donku said, it's not that drastic of a rate. And you're assuming that this is dumb money. Like, it's not that hard to run some numbers to project what the yield reserve is doing right now and what your rate's going to be in 6 months if nothing changes. There's a reason why nobody offers a stable rate anywhere unless you lock in for a long period of time. Like, it's an unsustainable business model to guarantee a rate when everything else around it is hyper dynamic, especially in these kind of environments. So we have to find a balance where we try to model it out ourselves so that it can be stable for a period of time so that investors have some confidence in being able to monitor out how that changes. Like the Fed funds rate, right? Like, it's the same idea. People project that, they make expectations based on it. I think that's reasonable expectation that any investor can model out what the anchor rate is going to be, and there could be expectations on it, there could be bets on that. That's what realistically well-developed mature capital markets look like, and that's what we probably should be moving towards with a better model on the top of that.
And part of this is psychological, right? I mean, I think it's important to be transparent with the community for the community to understand that 20% is unsustainable. I think most people get it, but on the other side, I read crypto Twitter all the time, and every, you know, there's always folks saying 20% forever. I'm going to count on this. I'm going to retire on this. You know, I'm going to build businesses around this. I'm going to take advantage of this for the next 5 years. And so I think partly it's just moving a step in that direction so that the community understands, hey, you know, 20% is probably not sustainable, right, over a long period of time. And we have to deal with that new paradigm.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess.
Also, maybe as a final note.
Sorry, guys.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. Yeah, just final note from me here. I just, you know, I think big money already understands that the yield isn't sustainable. So, you know, any price action we've seen up to this point is going to already have reflected that. But yeah, thanks for the opportunity to speak and appreciate the feedback, guys.
And I think
One last thing about that. I think big money is, as you said, well aware, but also it's not confronted to any opportunity cost when it's depositing into Anchor. So it can very well decide to deposit funds right now, enjoy the yield while it lasts, and as soon as it crosses a threshold where it feels like it has better opportunities elsewhere, because there's no lockup in Anchor's earn, it can just move the funds. So projection obviously is an important part of their like modeling and operation, but because there is no lockup, it's not like they're committing to something where they might actually not get enough to fulfill their mandates, for example. So I don't think it's such a deterrent for them that the yield might move around slightly over time.
Cool. So because Nate hasn't said it yet, right? I mean, fair feedback, and maybe you want to share it also with the now very big audience in the Anchor forum, right? Maybe others see it same, and I think it's good to put as much information as possible into the Anchor forum. How can people go there, Nate? Maybe you can give your classic pitch.
Can we ask someone from the community to come up and say it? I don't know if I've got more capacity for more comments. No, I'm just kidding. Go over there, make a comment.
Good one. Thank you, Millennial. I think next was Mr. Xulian. Go ahead.
Hey, Danku. Thanks, guys. I want to talk a little bit about, like, besides the TFL kind of funding that they did, what's the overall expense on Anchor in general for development, and kind of like since the beginning, because I feel like it's often short-sighted, you know, oh, TFL funded Anchor with 450 million. When you compare Anchor to other startup businesses that are trying to gain market share, like a recent example was DraftKings that spent 400 million in the fourth quarter of 2021. And they're like expected to lose $1 billion in the next year. When you compare that to Anchor, sure, the TFL spent 400 recently, but if you look at the growth of Anchor and Terra overall, it seems more than justified. So I guess I want to understand overall, like the expected kind of spending, or if there's kind of either a cap or just something that's kind of expected for growth, or growth kind of measures that Anchor and Terra is kind of looking for.
That's a good question. Kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, though. There's like no Anchor budget because Anchor isn't an independent. It is a decentralized independent entity, whereas TFL is a centralized entity that allocates staff to work on that protocol as part of the community. So there's no budget. There's, and like I said, there's at least 10 people, maybe more, on the TFL team that just kind of work on Anchor here and there, right? They might do this, they might do that, they might add some code here, but they're not like core Anchor team member. There's really no core Anchor team member even at TFL. It's like even Sam and I, we work on core TFL stuff too. Like we're in talks with helping UST adoption. We get pulled into finance calls, we get pulled into UST cross-chain deployments. So there's just, and those are just a few of the things that come to my mind right now. We all wear so many different hats over there. You know, Matt, that who's quote unquote the Anchor product manager, I mean, he works on a lot of core deals over at TFL, right? Like he was big in making this reserve pool happen. So there's no way of really calculating what the expense is on it. It's really seen in the greater good of just making sure that Terra ecosystem flourishes, and that's really the core mandate of TFL LFG.
Thank you, Julian, also for reflecting on this. I think I see, for example, Lunaomics right now listening. Shout out to you, sir. Also in the last weeks, reflecting on the topic of, right, there have been probably a lot of big companies or are right now out there that in their growth phase, which makes sense because they want market share, are negative for a while. And then long term, there are the effects positively, right, which pay out. So, but I think it's interesting that, right? Maybe, Julian, I mean, you gave me some ideas. Maybe it's interesting to do some research, how much has been spent with the yield reserve, how much has it grown, how much can we expect long term. And as I said, if somebody has SAVAX right now, you can also put it down on Anchor Protocol, right? Maybe. Nate, I don't know if you want to quickly shill your own SAVAX integration quickly. Maybe not everybody is aware of this.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it. It just went live yesterday. So everybody, you can go to the Anchor page. On the top right, you can now toggle between different chains, which is really exciting. You're going to see the AVAX option, which you can connect to your MetaMask wallet. And from there, you're able to use AVAX natively or Anchor natively on AVAX. You'll want to get some SAVAX tokens, which is the Banky liquid staking derivative, which they work with Ava Labs to create. So you take your AVAX, you go over there, you stake it, you get your SAVAX, and from there you can go to the Anchor Borrow. You can borrow against that. You can set safe borrow utilization parameter, ideally less than 70%, but you can go all the way up to 75% if you want. Take some UST out and have some fun. Right now, if you want to use the earn side, this is one thing to be very clear on right now. We're working on getting this changed as quick as possible. This is the fun of having a million different cross-chain bridges. A lot of the UST on Axler right on AVAX right now is Axler wrapped. So you'd want to go to the Curve V3 pool to get Wormhole wrapped. Hopefully soon we'll have a governance proposal up to change all that Axler UST to Wormhole wrapped UST. On the Terra side, if you really want to, you can send your AVAX through the Wormhole bridge and then deposit it on the Terra side. Or even more excitingly, now you can go to the liquidation queue on the Terra side, bid on SAVX, get a discount on it, and then borrow against it once you paid for that liquidation if it was executed.
Yeah, I think right now we're not even seeing kind of how big this is in terms of, it's for the first time where one protocol is natively on a different protocol. And there are two kind of set of smart contracts from different chains interacting with each other. This is, yeah, I said, I think this is huge. Probably others will try to replicate this, and I can wait. Maybe something, because I've seen some questions in terms of also when I posted this topic, is you can, if you are a Luna native, you can take over SAVX, bridge it from Avalanche over to the Terra blockchain and work from there. But I said, if you're on the other side, an Avalanche native, you can use it directly there. So it's kind of not a need to move stuff over. And I guess soon, I don't know, Nate, if you already talked to people like, I don't know, the Astroport team or so forth, there will be probably pools, right, in terms of wrapped asset. So VAS AVEX against UST to make liquidations easier, or is there something planned?
Yeah, they're looking at that. Loop is looking at it too. They're in talks with Banky to get some pools going there. It's not hyper necessary. We're also talking, I've also been in talks with Kujira and Lighthouse, the liquidation provider. And what I've been encouraging them to do is actually build out the liquidation queue natively on AVAX, right? So that users could bid natively with wrapped UST and get native SAVAX on AVAX. So it'd be built on wormholes, essentially be the reverse process. So hopefully they're telling me they're building it. I don't want to like hold them to something that they haven't completely confirmed yet.
But no, it's okay. It's okay. It's confirmed. It's fine. Got it.
Well, I mean, they're already working with MetaMask integration, so they were already like there. So it was cool to see that. And then maybe we should drop a little bit of alpha just to keep people excited. You know, we're talking with Polygon. We're gonna probably be moving to Phantom. We're obviously moving to ETH, and then further out we've got Solana and probably DOT, and we're also looking at one click borrow to make borrowing just as easy as the earn side, which is part of the reason we have the problem. It's like borrowing is already complicated just in the sense that people aren't used to borrowing, so if we could simplify that process, we just got a lot of cool things coming out.
Nice one, can't wait. That's super super cool. And yeah, so the moment you have screenshots, so you know where to send them, I'm happily bringing out content about that, because the one click borrow, yeah, can't wait
to send. Exactly. Exactly.
There you go. Taking a look at the time, but I don't know, Shar, how long you would like to go. We have Apathy and Whale up here. Does it make sense to have those two gentlemen addressing their questions and then we cut it short, or any plannings on your side?
Yeah, no, that sounds good. I think a couple more questions and then we'll kind of wind it down.
So we missed now Whale. He just said, no, I'm out. I got enough alpha from Mr. Nate, so I'm dropping down. Apathy, go next, please.
Hey, yeah, thanks. I really like the protocol and really like what you guys are doing. I've been following Anchor for a while. Earlier you guys did answer my question, because I was just wondering why was AVAX chosen, but I guess there's a couple other protocols as well that you're looking into. And I don't know if this was asked earlier, but would it make sense to help if you could lock up a portion of funds on the ecosystem, maybe for even a couple of weeks or maybe even a year or so, or even in increments, if that would help with the yield? I don't know if that makes sense.
Talking like a yield curve, time lock deposits.
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues with code complexity with that, and it really jeopardizes the fungibility of AUST. I think you could create this in a simpler way, right? You could create a withdrawal tax of, let's say, 1%, which would mean your break even rate at 20% right now, something like 18 days, right? So that would require you to hold for at least 18 days. I think that might be one way to look at it, is some kind of withdrawal tax. But again, it's kind of clunky in that way. It's not the best user experience. But in premise, I like that idea better than any kind of like tiered yield reserve with different wallets, investing times, contract queries across chain. My God, that would be a mess to send all that over Wormhole. It just would not work.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be too complex. Just, well, I guess having it be so complex wouldn't be a good thing. I'm just wondering a very simple way just to kind of provide someone who has a large amount of funds, if they just want to kind of have a little bit of predictable yield, just long term. So it's just an idea that I just had.
Yeah, appreciate it. Possibly something that could be looked at with like uncollateralized leverage lending with whitelisted contracts or something like that. Different lending market though for that kind of stuff. But I think it's something we have to look into with all the idle UST we have.
Cool. Thank you. And then I would say last question, hashtag no pressure. Peter Bellish, go ahead.
Oh, geez. So when you talked about bringing over some of the other assets, or maybe I missed it, you didn't mention Atom. Is there any updates on when we could see B Atom?
Go to the forum. Yeah, we're going to have a vote up for that this week. And so that would be about, if we get that vote up today or tomorrow, I mean, 7 days vote, 3 days poll execution. So give or take 10, 11 days.
I think if you go on the testnet, you would see there a new icon, which you would like, which indicates that it seems to be very, very close.
Exactly. Yep.
Cool.
Believe it or not, there's so many, like, we can't even get away with putting something within like seconds of putting something on testnet where like someone finds it. Like, oh my God, there's like no hiding it.
And I mean, just from my side, because I was checking how much SAVEX already arrived on Anchor right now, the value, I think in some is, let me refresh here, because I mean, as I said, I'm making my numbers myself, right? Trying to calculate the sustainability. So we have almost 6 million, well, 5.3 million of SAVEX. I think that's pretty interesting. And I don't know if anybody noticed, but we have 1.3 billion in value of ETH already. I'm surprised how much it was going up. I don't know, did you call some old ETH friend, Nate, and just said they need to deposit here?
It was all Sam. Sam was talking about how we needed to make it better. And as soon as he started talking about it, it just started rocketing. So we're going to give Sam credit for that.
I like to go where the assets are. Everyone's got ETH. Everyone's got BTC. Like, wow, well, whitelist it all. That's my prerogative.
Oh yeah, there's another little bit of alpha there. Did someone say wrap BTC?
Wait, I have connection issues again.
You only get alpha once, so I'm leaving it there.
Left upper corner, it says record. And also, I think we have forgot in the last weeks, or I myself a bit, we have terraspaces.org down there, usually recording a ton of spaces. I've seen today the schedule is super filled up, so those guys are doing an amazing job. Give them a like, give them a follow. You can also donate some money if you don't want to donate to the YID reserve. Go over and Terra Spaces would be also an interesting destiny. Super cool. Anything we have forgotten here? Somebody wants to add something? I don't know, Anchor Team, SHA, Retrograde?
Yeah, just real quick, just a public service announcement. Certainly at Anchor, I think a lot of people are noticing there's a lot of scammers out there, you know, a lot of fraudulent folks, a lot of malicious, you know, actors. There are a lot of Anchor sites popping up that are not the real Anchor site. So just please, 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 you know, double check what site you're on. Never give out your seed phrase. You know, we're seeing a lot of that in the community, and it pains us every single time that we see it, but literally we can't do anything about it. So everyone has to protect yourselves, and please be careful and make sure you're interacting with the only one of the Anchor protocols, and you don't talk to any customer service folks because they don't exist.
Yeah, if you're not talking to Sam and me on this AMA, it's not Anchor. And yeah, it's Anchor's $17 billion now. This sadly and unfortunately is not going to end. They're going to ramp up their efforts. It's just a huge bullseye for any hacker right now. So. Just even if you're a DGEN native, make sure you're bookmarking stuff. Make sure you're hyper aware of what's going on. Don't be just half-assed typing an A to your browser and expecting the first Anchor link to come up to actually be Anchor. Sadly, we're not at that stage anymore.
So the seed phrase I sent to bitnate_ was not you yesterday. Yeah.
Well, that was actually the Anchor admin.
Ah, there you go. It's simple as
Anchor
that.
Customer no, support.
That's
I mean,
that's
it, right? I think a lot of people have seen the last days because yesterday one of those NFT guys that seems to be very important on ETH kind of lost a ton of money. I think NFTs in value of 1.7 million. But he was also using a hard wallet, right? I think I don't know. Shah, do you have already an Orbital command? I know you have a lot of great content, just maybe to finish it up, something already on the topic of security and hard wallet. Maybe we can guide people also there because I think it's getting more and more important, right? With so much value that is also on Terra now.
Yeah, we don't have a video or a course, but I think that's come up a lot in the last couple of weeks, and I think it's definitely worth us like maybe working on a video or a little site that kind of tells people how to do good OPSEC for their personal finances. I think certainly those of us been in crypto for a few years like have seen a lot of this stuff already, so we like to think that we're aware of it, but I think, you know, these guys are so creative, and I definitely highly recommend everybody that is, you know, bringing friends into this space, especially because Anchor is such a great place to get people started in crypto. Like, definitely when you're bringing your friends into Anchor, into Terra, just like remind them that these things exist and that they have to be super vigilant.
Great one. You want to take it away, Mr. Shah?
Yeah, I want to thank everyone for coming out. These are the discussions that help move Terra forward and bring out incredible ideas that move our community and our space forward. I want to thank the Anchor team, Nate and Sam, for coming out, and the Retrograde guys for coming out as well. And Danku R, we love you. You're a fantastic host for these spaces. And then I will plug our own thing and kind of drop some alpha. So Orbital Command, as some of you may know already, is planning this huge Terra event that's going to happen in Austin, Texas, the 9th and 10th of June. We have at least 35 dApps or Terra projects that have already committed to coming and being present at the space and networking and meeting with people. So, and it's growing every day. We've got some incredible sponsors lined up, and I won't kind of drop all the names of Alpha, but there's going to be a TeFi Alpha event there as well. So it's going to be the biggest Terra event to date. So if you are free around the 9th of 10th of June, I highly suggest that you think about coming to our event. You're going to see a lot more promotional stuff coming out in the course of the next couple weeks. But excited to just share that with you right now that is happening, and it's shaping up to be pretty incredible.
All right, thanks, Gekker. I hope to see you there, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, very exciting. Hope to see you all there. And everyone, thanks for coming. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Orbital Command space with Anchor and Danku discussing the dynamic earn rate prop. Recorded on Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes, and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving, try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits, going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific, the risk is hedge funding the business, betting on the difference, ingesting all the research, sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first, sleep tight little dreamer, early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor, taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension. Something to endear myself a little bit. Something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. When it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling abominable with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little as to do with what everything is. But it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.
Terra Spaces.